Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who do we think we are? This is Wretched Radio. That is a question that we have failed to ask and answer now for nigh unto, you heard me, I said nigh unto, I was reading my King James Version Bible, nigh unto 50 years. What happened 5 decades ago, give or take? Fellows like Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schuller, Rick Warren came along and said, we need to tinker with the Bride of Christ. We need to redress her. We need to make her more attractive to the world. And the seeker-sensitive movement has, for the most part, been dominating evangelical churches. And I would ask the question, who do we think we are? Or to put it another way,
this name, Household of God, also denotes the intimacy that God has with the church. His love for the church. It shows him to be a husband to a bride and a father to children. That's what we see in this. Now, I have a wife, and she is beautiful. And I love her very much. And I have children, and I love them very, very much. You see, there were times my wife would go with me anywhere when we were missionaries in South America. I mean, she'd walk into danger, no problem. But there were times when I would go into certain military zones where I knew they're going to pull me off the bus, they're going to rough me up a little bit, they're going to push me around, they're going to try to show their authority. And when they do that to me, that's fine. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. That doesn't bother me a bit. But if one of them laid one finger upon my wife, well, that's quite another story, isn't it? Now, I want you to think about this, pastors. Think about this. There was a great king who loved his bride. Oh, he loved her. And he always dressed her in the simplest yet most elegant white linen. She needed no audacious colors on her face. She needed no wild hairdos. She was beautiful, simple, elegant, pure, godly, beautiful. And one day this king goes on a long journey and he calls you as a steward. He says, I'm going to entrust my bride to you. I'm going to be going. I've laid out for you in a book every rule I want you to maintain. I want nothing changed, nothing changed. Steward, you be faithful to carry out this book. Well, the king goes, and he's been away a long, long time. And all of a sudden, the steward begins to realize that the people in the kingdom they're losing interest in the king because they're losing interest in the bride. She's too simple, too prudish, rather boring. She's out of step with the times. And so this steward thinks in his mind, aha, I've got it figured out. He calls her in. He takes off her white, elegant, godly dress and dresses her in something far more attractive to carnal men, paints her face, and then parades her up and down the street, and by doing so, draws all the carnal, wicked men back into fellowship, supposedly with the king. That's exactly what countless pastors in America are doing today. They have taken the simplicity of the bride of Christ, her magnificent beauty, her purity, her holiness, and they have tore it from her, and they dress her up and parade her in front of carnal men that they will be attracted to somehow come back to God. Let me tell you something. On the day of judgment, don't worry about the atheist. Don't fear for the prostitute or the murderer. You want to fear for somebody on the day of judgment? You fear for a large number of evangelical pastors who have departed from the Word of God and are parading the church in a dress, a garb that God never intended her to wear. Many times I pray, Lord, increase your fear in me. Increase your fear in me. You should be afraid to touch my wife. Terribly afraid. Oh, but how much more afraid should you be to touch the bride of Christ and do anything with her that is not found in this book? We are to be like the faithful Haggai. Remember him? He was put over Esther. And what was his purpose? Was he to make her presentable to the nation? Was he to work with her and dress her and do all sorts of things with her that she might be pleasing to the people of the kingdom? Absolutely not. He had one task: make her pleasing to the king.
And that is our task. Who do we think we are? Is it possible the seeker-sensitive movement continues? I think they're on wobbly knees these days, but is it possible the reason that this ill-conceived idea continues to be utilized by megachurches around the globe is because it is lacking a fear of God? That we are not asking the question, who do we think we are? Like a breath of fresh air, I read an article. Cheaters, please. Read an article at Clear Truth Media, one Stephen Whitlow. He loved the seeker-sensitive movement. Listen to what this pastor wrote. When I was 17 years old, a high school senior, I had to write a senior paper. And guess what he decided to write on? The seeker-sensitive movement. Quote, without the seeker-sensitive movement, the American church will fail and become irrelevant to modern culture. The seeker model is the hope of the American church. And then he writes, man, I was wrong. And indeed, he was. Why? Because the seeker-sensitive movement is all about gussying up the bride to make her pretty for carnal people. That is precisely what it is. That illustration from Paul Washer couldn't be more spot on in every single detail. Who do we think we are to mess with the bride of Christ? And he identifies four unintended consequences of the megachurch movement. Well done, Stephen Whitlow. Number one, we've made the church a product. Indeed, we have. It's a commodity. Won't you come to our show? Won't you buy a ticket to our play? Won't you come and see the shenanigans that we've cooked up for you this Sunday? The church isn't a commodity. It's a bride. He writes, the seeker-sensitive built service, self-service. They built it into every part of its foundation. It's all about self-service. How could we challenge people to repent of their feelings when we've spent decades telling them how much they mattered and how special they are? That's really insightful. Hey, we're here to entertain you. So we need to talk about some of your decisions about what you're watching on the internet. Shh, better not bring that up, because we've been telling you this show is all about you. Jesus is all for you. He wants you to live your best life now. Number two, unintended consequence of the seeker-sensitive movement. Doctrine is secondary. Indeed, I would even say tertiary. Frankly, these seeker-sensitive churches are so far removed from doctrine, it's quite laughable because they barely use a Bible verse. Barely. It is just up on their little TV monitor that they have somebody move into the next slide as needed. It is hardly exegesis. Number three, unintended consequence. We've created a social club instead of a family. You got to pledge allegiance to the brand. This isn't a part of being a part of something greater than yourself. This is being in alignment with our marketing campaign. Number four, creating cogs in the wheel. Discipleship moved from being formed in Christ to being formed into a good part of the church machine. If someone attended on Sundays, joined a small group, served a team, paid their tithes, they were the model church member. Little else was asked. But Jesus asks far more, doesn't he? And Jesus doesn't ask. He commands us and gives us the privilege. Take care of my bride. The seeker-sensitive movement, quite honestly, what he's done to the bride of Christ. Oof. This is Wretched Radio. So, you're not convinced of the importance of training men to rightly divide the word of truth and fill pulpits internationally? Fine. Then we'll let Paul Washer convince you.
It is so important, not just important, it's absolutely essential to have a trained expositor of the scripture in every church. When we read through the book of Acts, we can see that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, advances as the word of God advances.
Would you please consider joining the Master's Academy International in filling empty pulpits with men who can exposit the scriptures and advance the kingdom of God? It's a magnificent ministry with a generational impact. Please learn more about supporting TMAI at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor for the Master's Academy International.
We all know life is tough sometimes, right? We all deal with stuff, stress, worry, depression. It's just a part of being human. But what if there was a way to look at these struggles differently? Well, that's what Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford is all about. It's not your usual radio show. No, Dr. Gifford talks about real issues, you know, the kind we all face. And he doesn't just talk about them, he brings biblical clarity to them. So whether you're dealing with anxiety or feelings of loneliness, or you're just trying to figure things out, I highly recommend Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's not about quick fixes or empty promises. It's just honest talk about life and how to navigate it biblically. If you're curious, why not give it a try? Give it a listen right now. New episodes come out every Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or transform.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. From brokenness to wholeness.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Ambrose was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and one of the four original doctors of the church. He defeated Arianism by appealing to scripture and using well-reasoned arguments. Ambrose reminds us that a faithful teacher is a blessing to generations of Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please fill in the blank. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I'm going to give a little phrase. You fill in the blank. Are you ready, sir?
I am.
Blank of England.
King.
That's a good one, but it's not the one I was looking. You know, some people suggest we rehearse this. I don't see any need for that.
No.
Blank of England.
Queen.
We're a Christian talk show. Blank of England.
Church of England.
Don't use that word. Do not use the word church, because the blank of England no longer wants to use the word church. What in the world? The Church of England, in an effort to be pseudo-seeker sensitive. No, I take that back. They're seeker sensitive. Oh, they keep the bells and the whistles, which is why their attendance is lagging so tragically, because they don't put on an amusing light show. They've kept the traditions, but they've lost the dogma, and they've lost the view of what the church is. And so it is, according to Fox News. Wait a second. So according to Fox News.
Film at 11.
Now that I've got your attention. The Centra. What's a C-E-N-T-R-E? Those Brits. The Centra for Church Planting Theology discovered that even though more than 900 new churches were established by 11 dioceses in the past decade, okay, that's kind of a good thing. None of them use the word church plant or church. Oh, we think that people are turned off by the word church. You know that biblical word that Jesus promised that he would build? We got to remove that, because otherwise people won't come to that building where they used to do church in there. So let's go check it out. What a dim-witted idea this is. Honestly, are we ashamed of what it is that we are doing? Are we embarrassed about who we are? Are we so weak and bendable that we'll let a hostile culture force us to remove the word that Jesus used to describe a group of called out people that he loves and cherishes? And he tells us, do this my way, not their way, my way. And we are so ashamed, embarrassed, or weak, we don't even want to use the word church. Zoinks, Scoob. Six of the 11 dioceses preferred the language of worship as their main descriptor. Oh, I see. Some use the word community. Others use the word congregation. Well, that seems to me to be, well, that's a stodgy word right there. Instead of the word church. This is seeker sensitivity. Now, whether they're reading a purpose-driven church book or not, this is a group of men and women leading a body that is desperate to try to maintain their position. That's it. Because if they were zealous for the bride of Christ, they wouldn't be taking out the word church. Besides, do we think that people are just knuckleheads? It would be like saying, welcome to Wretched. We talk and we put it on podcasts and radio stations. Oops, I used the word radio. Oh, blew it. I totally blew it, because I didn't want people to know it's radio, because they don't like the word radio. And so we've just eliminated that from our name. What a disgrace. The church has lost its backbone. And I'm not talking about revolting against the government. I'm talking about being delighted to take flack for saying, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. Jesus Christ is my king. The church is his bride. Do what you must. Because I know that eternity is a long time. And I want to stand with the one who died so that I could be a part of, I'll just use the word institution, so that he can be glorified. I'm happy to go down with that ship. Why? Because it's a higher ship. It's a bigger thing. These are bigger ideals. And if you've perhaps been tempted to maybe make your church groovy in some way, shape, or form, I would simply like to encourage you to be a part of something that is eternal. Eternal future and eternal past. This was God's plan, that there would be an entity on earth, a group of kingdom citizens who would dedicate their lives to glorifying the King so that God can be all in all. The picture in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm telling you, whoa. You don't think that everything that you see, experience, witness, you don't think it's about Jesus Christ receiving glory for his redemptive work? Here's how the whole shebang is going to wrap up. According to 1 Corinthians 15, there'll be a day of judgment, and God is going to gather up all the elect ones. That's biblical lingo. All of those that he has purchased for himself. And he is going to gather you and me. Now, just try to envision that without becoming idolatrous. That you, the people who have not repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ, they've been gathered up too. And they've been sent on a road to perdition. You know what? Wouldn't it have been interesting if AC/DC had used more biblical language? I don't think it would have sold on a highway to perdition. Nevertheless, they're dealt with. But there you are. And God gathers you. You are going to be a part of this. This is not a play. This is not fantasy. This is not a futuristic movie with Will Smith. This is what is going to happen. If you are born from above, God is going to bring you together in a massive sea of people to present you to his son, Jesus Christ, as a gift. Here, son, this is for you. These are the ones that I've called. These are the ones that I've regenerated. These are the ones that I've forgiven. These are the ones that I've made righteous. These are for you. You're a gift. And you're going to be given to Jesus Christ, who is going to receive that gift. I almost, without getting idolatrous, I see like in his hand. Here's the, all of us just get put into his hand. Not that we're like little midget people, but we're fitting into the hands of Jesus. He receives this gift. And what does he do with you and me? What does he do with us? He turns us back to the Father, offers them back to him and says, they're for you, Father, that you might be all in all. And eternity begins where you dwell with your God. That's why you're here. That is what you're about. If I might steal a word, because I think he tried to trademark it, if I might steal a word from the seeker-sensitive guru, Rick Warren, that's your purpose. There, you want to know what your purpose is? There it is. What's God's will for your life? Be born again. There it is. Be born again. And then glorify God by being willfully and joyfully obedient to his commands, because he has done everything to purchase us as a gift to his son, which gets returned to the Father that he might be all in all. That's what you're a part of. You might think, well, being at the United Nations, that's like a big deal. Okay, you probably don't. Let's try something else. That you're on the Supreme Court. That you're a member of Davos. Okay, bad illustration again. But you think whatever it is that you think would be like, yes, yet living in that subdivision, having that title, having assets that are large enough that you don't really need to be worried about the price of inflation. Whatever it isn't even puny is not a small enough word. Those things, I'm not saying, by the way, that any of your activities or purchases are entirely worthless. They're not. But that's hardly what God is about. It doesn't even come close to the ethereal nature, the lofty things that he is doing, and you are a part of them. You're a part of them. Knowing that you are going to be an eternal gift to the Father, that he might be all in all because of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that should cause a domino effect in our lives. It should be a domino of sanctification, of holiness, of joy, of trust, of assurance, of shalom, and a very intense desire to protect his bride. Why? Because he loves his bride. And we should too. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, it seems like the Democratic National Convention is set to be quite a spectacle, which I'm sure a lot of you have already read or seen a lot about. On Wednesday, Chicago will be hosting what's being dubbed as DNC Drag Night Chicago, a voter registration kiki. Now, I'm not an expert on kikis, but I can tell you this promises to be anything but demure. The Drag Pack, a group of alumni from RuPaul's Drag Race, is organizing multiple drag shows throughout the city with the goal to increase voter registration because, hey, that's all you need to get someone to perform their civic duty. Sequins and stilettos. One of the stars promoting the event declared, "You thought a city of politicians was too much? Wait till you see a city of drag queens." I don't know which group is more dramatic. But the theatrics doesn't stop there. The DNC is also pulling out all of the stops to make the convention more like a Hollywood awards show. Every night will kick off with a different celebrity host, including Tony Goldwyn. Never heard of him. And someone from The View. Yeah, when I think of the Democratic National Convention, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Daytime talk show hosts. And other news, finally, other news. It seems like the Attorney General of the state of Texas is digging deeper into the allegations surrounding the Children's Hospital in Houston. The hospital is under investigation for allegedly performing gender transition procedures on minors, even after such procedures were classified as child abuse in the state. Dr. Ethan Haim, who brought these allegations to light, now finds himself in hot water with the federal government. The Biden-Harris administration has indicted him on multiple HIPAA violations, despite claims that no personal information was released in his report. No good deed goes unpunished, does it? Adding to the drama, a nurse who assisted Dr. Haim in exposing the practices reports that she's been fired from the hospital. Of course she has, because you can't keep children safe in this climate. According to the nurse, her termination came not only as retaliation for her whistleblowing, but also due to her religious beliefs. Look, standing up for your convictions can come at a steep price, but Jesus never said following him would be easy. Good on these two. And in lighter news, and I use that term loosely, a new TikTok trend has taken the internet by storm. The creator has popularized the term very demure, I used it earlier, to describe various actions. I'm not entirely sure what putting makeup on has to do with being demure, but apparently it's all the rage among the young folks these days. It's become so popular that even the White House couldn't resist jumping on the bandwagon. Of course, they couldn't. They described canceling student debt as very mindful and very demure. Never thought I'd see the day when, well, yes, I did. I'm not even going to say that because, yes, I did. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. God called the prophet Jonah to preach repentance in Nineveh. Jonah fled, but he could not outrun God. He was cast into the sea and swallowed by a great fish. Jonah repented, and God spared him. Jonah then preached in Nineveh, and they repented. God is compassionate and merciful, and he is calling men from all nations to repentance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do some fruit inspecting. Shall we? This is Wretched Radio. What exactly is the fruit of the seeker-sensitive movement? Well, you could take a look at the waning influence of Christendom in America. That would be big. You could take a look at the worldview of people who call themselves evangelicals, but a whopping 6% actually possess a biblical worldview. That would be a fruit of seeker sensitivity. Hey, I think I just found another piece of fruit. Evangelicals for Harris. This can't be right. Yeah, this can't. Yep, no, that's right. Evangelicals for Harris. And Billy Graham's granddaughter. Listen, can you hear that sound? It's coming from North Carolina. It's Billy Graham spinning in his grave like a lathe. His granddaughter, who's a Chavijan. I can't keep the family tree straight either. But this is a granddaughter who has joined the Evangelicals for Harris. Apparently, the definition of evangelical has actually been stretched beyond the breaking point. We have so watered down the currency of evangelicalism that we think these words can go together. Evangelicals for Planned Parenthood. Evangelicals for the most pro-abort candidate in all of human history. They don't go together. How do people make this work? Well, they use the evangelicalism. It's kind of their rabbit's foot. It's their little idol that they hang from their rearview window. It is perhaps what they think is a port in the storm when the winds of life start crashing them against the shoals. They run to the church. But it is absolutely impossible for people who call themselves to be evangelicals to be saying they are for a pro-abortion candidate. And not just any pro-abortion candidate. This one is wildly, aggressively pro-abortion. Evangelicals for Harris, thank you. Thank you, seeker-sensitive movement. Jerusha Duford, whose mother, Virginia Graham Chavijan. Okay, so it must be that Ruth and Billy had a daughter named Virginia who married a Chavijan. I wonder what her relationship is to Tullian. At any rate, this is Billy Graham's oldest granddaughter. Did an event that apparently, supposedly, reached 40,000 evangelicals. Now, I'm really skeptical about that because without having a black helicopter sound effect inserted here, it does seem that there's a lot of people that are calling themselves evangelicals for Harris, even though they're not evangelical, which really can't be. Nevertheless, just so that they can start to persuade some evangelicals, look, there's a bunch of us that are doing this. Now, we know from past elections and the post-election polls that there have been evangelicals that have voted for the pro-abort party. We know that. It appears to me, and I'm not a political prognosticator, this is an attempt to try to persuade perhaps evangelicals who just don't think through the issues very much. Samuel Say said it this way with a headline in the Christian Post. Jimmy, let's see if we can figure out where he stands on this.
Okay.
Evangelicals for Harris, comma, evangelicals for Satan. You think he might that it's a bit of an oxymoron? He writes, evangelicals for Harris is as absurd as Jews for Pharaoh, as Christians for Emperor Nero, or evangelicals for Satan. He lays down a hard line. If you're voting for Kamala Harris, you are not an evangelical. Now, I do believe that we could all agree there might be some professing evangelicals who are actually born again, who are uneducated. They just aren't aware. There's a lot of folks who have never considered the abortion issue. I remember when I first got saved, Mrs. Friel was way ahead of me on this. I think she was pro-life and aware before the Lord saved both of us at just about the same time. And she started talking about it, and I was like, I really haven't thought this through. I was saved. If you had asked me at the time, I don't even recall what I would have said my position was, but it was certainly ignorant. And I got educated by my wife, who understood even before salvation that abortion is the intentional taking of an innocent human life. It is the dismembering of a human being. Whether it can feel pain or not, it is irrelevant. There are some people who can't feel pain. They don't. It's a nerve thing. And they have to be really careful because they can bruise badly because they didn't even realize, oh, I got burned or I hit my shin on the bed frame. They can't feel pain. Are they not human? Pain is not an indicator of what makes you human. What makes you human is that you're made in God's image. That's what makes you a human being. And there are some people who just might have not thought it through, like I hadn't. So I would say that there can be some people, but if you're an evangelical who is aware of the life issue, I would challenge you, knowing that this is a modern day genocide. It is nothing short of that. It is a modern day genocide. You just can't see the ashes that are billowing out of the furnaces and the smokestacks in Germany. But it's happening as we speak. As we speak, children are being dismembered in the womb. As an evangelical, we just simply cannot condone that and vote for the people who aggressively want to pursue that. And I know what you're thinking. Well, the Republicans aren't pro-life anymore. You're right. And that should be something we shout about. This issue, the only way that I think it can stay fresh in our mind for some reason is to think about World War II Germany. That's what this is. That's what's happening. And when we see a party that is not willing to condemn that, which is where we're at now with the Elephant Party, we should, this is where Christians get very vocal and very loud. Because if we don't criticize something like this, I really honestly wouldn't blame liberals for going, they're hypocrites. They're just political people who want their person in power. I can understand that critique. We got to speak up on this issue. The Republican Party has given up. They just don't want to deal with it because they think it's going to lose an election. I say this is what leadership is about. Can you imagine that somebody wouldn't be willing to speak up and condemn what happened in the Holocaust? We're experiencing one. We can't forget that. Let's go back to Samuel Say in Canada. If you vote for Kamala Harris, you're not an evangelical. Jimmy, what do you think he's trying to say there?
He could have been a little clearer.
Let me tell you about the campaign that's going on. Evangelicals for Harris will drop their first media spot, looks like this week, to win some on-the-fence conservative evangelicals. The marriage issue, there's another one, the transgender issue. I read their platform. It's mostly a screed against Donald Trump. It's like 60 pages long. I read it last night. Just the stuff that is of particular interest. I mean, there was a lot of goofy stuff in there. But it was amazing how a political party puts out a position paper that's basically against the other guy. I would say that's at least, I would have to guess a third of it is, this is why you don't want to vote Republican, as opposed to saying, this is why you should vote for us. It is a platform that is bad on so many issues. It's thoroughly woke. In fact, I think the way that it begins is a recognition that the convention that's happening in Chicago is on indigenous lands, and they cite the different. I mean, it's just really, really woke, and it gets into racial issues. And of course, once again, who are the bad guys? White guys. But those issues pale in comparison, I would say, to the marriage issue, the giving kids drugs and surgery because they're confused about their gender and life. Evangelicals for Harris. Apparently, there are 200,000 evangelical Christians who have signed a pledge to volunteer and vote for the Harris-Waltz campaign. New Evangelicals for Harris ad, this is from the Independent and UCK, highlights Trump's quote saying he doesn't ask God for forgiveness. You can tell by the writing, by the way, of this organization, it's almost like AI is writing it for them. They're trying to use evangelical lingo, but they're not. Get ready for this. The organization's website highlights Harris's background as a Baptist. Apparently that word has absolutely no meaning. And her great respect for other faith traditions, calling her a deeply committed and faithful Christian. She's not. She's not. Somebody who is born again, who is aware of the issues, isn't. David French has also started Christians for Kamala. I don't know what air is being breathed by somebody like David French to somehow justify the affirmation and the approval by voting for people who want to increase and expand genocide. This is Wretched Radio.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Bidenflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, Seasons 1 through 3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, Seasons 1 to 4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, Seasons 1 and 2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched Store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you ever felt like the world's gone a little loopy? Well, we agree, which is why we've assembled the ultimate dream team to tackle it head on. Later this year, 8 big brains and even bigger hearts will come together to bring light to the darkness. First up, we have Pastor Tim Challies, the blog king and co-founder of Cruciform Press. We'll keep you grounded with practical, faith-filled guidance. And if you're feeling a bit spiritually lost, Pastor John Krotz has you covered with more degrees than a thermometer and wisdom that'll set your soul on fire. And for the Gen Z men out there wondering if there's more to life than TikTok, say hello to Dr. Adam Tyson. And if you have marriage and parenting woes, Pastor Brad Bigney's wisdom will help you navigate those tricky waters. It all gets underway later this year, and we'd love it if you could join us in making a difference. Just visit wretched.org/donate to learn more, and let's make our brave new world a little less crazy together. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, the shame. The shame. This is Wretched Radio. How could we talk about the life issue for so long and fail to mention Preborn Ministries? If you want to save babies, you want to save their lives, you want to save their mommy's souls, their daddy's soul, please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. They are still in the fight. They are in the battle on the ground, giving free ultrasounds so that women can see what is obvious. It's just natural law. That's a baby. That is something that is precious. That is something that should be taken care of. not dismembered and vacuumed out. Please consider supporting Preborn Ministries, very holistic ministry. Similac for the babies, diapers, parental training, and they share the gospel with everyone. You can learn more about Preborn Ministries by visiting preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched. I'm not ashamed anymore, Jimmy.
Oh, good, good.
Now, I don't know if these are evangelicals, but I guess we shouldn't be surprised. This is from Alan Schliemann. I don't know if you know Alan. He's at Stand to Reason. That's Greg Kokel's ministry. It's an apologetics ministry. Alan was in season 3 of Road Trip to Truth, which I have not spoken about for a bit. If you're looking for something for your kids, youth group, Road Trip to Truth, believe me, it'll get their tongues wagging. If you're like a lot of youth group leaders, what do I need to do to get these kids to engage? Road Trip to Truth, it's the ticket. Alan Schliemann was one of our expert guests, and he wrote an article to address, are you ready for this? The claim that Eve, Jimmy, what do you think I'm going to say?
I don't have any idea.
Guess what Eve was.
Guess what Eve was.
Yeah, guess what Eve was.
Mother of all living.
Transgender.
No. Mm-hmm.
Some people have recently claimed God created Eve as a transgender woman. Wonder what church they go to. I'll bet it's got fog machines. Since Eve was formed out of Adam's rib, she was created from a bone that contained male DNA. Boom.
That's such a stretch.
And that means, so their argument goes, God created a woman from a man. Therefore, if God made a transgender person, then of course he approves of people transitioning. See what they did right there? Isn't that crazy?
Gosh.
You know, I'm not a Christian nationalist, but I have to confess, this would be one of those times when I think the government should step in and say, I'm sorry, come with us. We're taking away your freedom. You can't do that to the Bible. Just for the sake of a theological exercise, what's wrong with their thinking? What's the problem? Schliemann identifies a number of problems. Now, first of all, God created male and female. Let's just start there. That's what it's a. He didn't say male and presenting female who was actually a male. Doesn't say that. That Eve, with a, by the way, a feminine word for Eve. She's Isha. She's not Ish. That's man. Isha is woman. I think this is worthy of note. Ish means hard one. Isha, soft one. And that's why we complement one another. Here's what Schliemann writes. Eve doesn't fit the definition of a transgender person. Yeah, well, we kind of knew that. She was a biological female because she got pregnant at least twice, probably a whole lot more. Had to have been, because that we had to have some girls now, didn't we? So she was clearly a biological female, but that's contested these days, especially apparently if you run the Olympics, which is a pretty big deal, that there is no way that we can test whether it's a boy or a girl. Huh, that's crazy. I thought chromosomes. And by the way, I do get the intersex business, that there are the boxer thing. That was kind of a big debate, that there were, the boxer was an intersex person. What do we do with those? Well, we don't make new categories to say this is normal. There's a standard that is obvious. There's pinks and there's blues. And when somebody has some sort of a DNA differential from the XXXY, it means it's aberrant. It means that it is something that we would not say is normative. We observe what is normative. That would be the exception. That means it is abnormal. So what do we do with an intersex person? I think that there's different circumstances, but in general, they can then choose. I think body parts have a lot to do how they present with their body parts. If they've got an XXY chromosome, which is a possibility, what are their body parts? Well, then that tells you that's the direction you need to go. But if it is something that does not present with body parts as either male or female, then that's something that just needs to be worked through. And I think that what we should do is just have a lot of grace with those folks. Can you imagine? That would be, whew. And I think that we could let people make those decisions, you know, like the Democrats supposedly want people to be able to do. We let them make that decision. But that the exception doesn't make a rule. These days, men can have babies. Ay, ay, ay. I got to tell you, the one that has been striking me lately with this scorched earth policy of changing the definition of words and just accepting their meaning. So now somebody can actually say with a straight face, a man can have a baby. It's like, how did we get here? Well, they're so persuaded of their rightness, they just use that lingo as if it's reality. Sort of like abortion care. What? Abortion care? Seriously? What a semantics game they play. Back to Alan Schliemann. She would be defined, that's Eve, as a cisgender. There's a second reason. She was supernaturally created and she couldn't count as a person who transitioned. God fashioned them. So they couldn't have been trans. Besides, isn't transgender all about pumping your body with foreign hormones and having your body mutilated? We don't read about that now, do we? She didn't change from male to female. God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from man. It is a miraculous one-time event. It doesn't make sense to conclude God approves of people transitioning if everywhere else in Scripture it says male and female. And he lays down that you should present yourself as a particular gender. That's the principle of Deuteronomy 22:5. That a woman shouldn't wear man's clothing and a man shouldn't wear women's clothing. That's the rule. Now, it looks a little different, of course, in each culture over the course of the centuries, but it would be ridiculous if God approved of transgenderism with a rule like that. Matthew 19:4, haven't you heard? In the beginning, God made them male and female. Eve was transgender. If I were king, yeah, I think I would be a Christian nationalist. I'm afraid I would be too tempted to use my staff of authority and say, that round up those people. They can't do that to a holy book. By the way, evangelicals, it appears, make up a smaller share of U.S. population than commonly thought. This is from Arizona Christian University, George Barna, who actually I think has been a blessing to the church with his polling because he doesn't accept what people say about themselves. He asks questions to qualify if they really are that category. Not perfect, of course, but he makes sure that when somebody says, I'm an evangelical, well, let's talk about that to determine if they actually bear fruit that indicates they're an evangelical. And he's determined evangelicals are far fewer in number than typically reported, are less biblical in their thinking than one might assume, and tend to vote in far fewer numbers than expected. 35% of evangelicals subscribe to a biblical worldview. That's a problem, because if you're an evangelical, you are not expected to have a PhD in theology when you get saved, but you should certainly be developing a biblical worldview as you go. Less than half of evangelicals read or study their Bible daily, other than at church services. 42% describe themselves as active in the faith. I'm sorry, I just see a direct correlation to the seeker-sensitive movement. These are people that call themselves evangelicals. Do you think that they're learning theology under Stephen Furtick, under these megachurch charlatans and these silly men that put on a show? That is why, if you want to affect change, if you don't like the state of politics currently in America, and I can't imagine that you like it, it's the church. It's the church. There are 340,000 to 360,000 Protestant churches in America. It's the church that is affect. politics flows downstream from the church. So what do we do to fix the churches? Well, I don't think we can fix the churches. What I think we need to do is evangelize rightly, law and gospel. People get saved, and then they become biblicists themselves, and that will change the church. In this instance, oof, this isn't very Reaganomical. From the bottom up. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.